We're finally here. It's game week. Tennessee taking on South Carolina. So what's the attitude? Confidence? One of those cautiously optimistic? How would you gauge the attitude of this team going into this matchup Saturday night?
Yeah, I think cautiously optimistic is a good way to put it. I think they're, first of all, just like everybody else, just glad that game week is here and that they're getting a chance to play. But now, once you get past that feeling, I think there's a little bit of concern because there has been a pretty large number of Tennessee players sitting out for a good number of practices the past 3 or 4 weeks. And they've started to get those players back recently, and I think they'll be pretty close to full strength. Jeremy Pruitt said this week they're not going to release numbers during game weeks, so not really sure how many guys they're still maybe missing, but it sounds like they're a lot closer to full strength. And, so we're not sure how much that's still impacting them, but either way, it's impacted their preparation so much. I think there's some genuine concern within the program, at least, that they've maybe not had enough time to develop the kind of continuity and everything that you need from preseason practice to really feel great about things going into this game. So I think they're a little bit of an unknown still, but in their minds, at least they've got everybody, pretty much everybody out there for this game, and I think they at least feel good about that compared to where they were a couple weeks ago.
We look at Tennessee, rich tradition, and you could go back several decades. Well, you're talking about the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the first decade, early on, especially of the 21st century as well. To throw a stat like this out, going into week one, here's Tennessee, when you think about all the teams as far as Power 5 conferences, and Notre Dame is included in that group, we're talking about the third longest winning streak for Power 5 teams right now. LSU with 16-game winning streak under their belts, and Notre Dame with 8. And then you come to number 3, the Tennessee Vols with 6.
That's not bad. And it's set up, frankly, for Tennessee to win probably its first 2 games this season. If everything goes by the Vegas favorite and underdog, they'll be favored to win next week against Missouri, just like they are for this game. So a chance to extend that by at least a couple before you have to travel to Georgia in a couple weeks, and obviously that gets a little bit trickier for Tennessee. But that's a good sign for this program. We'll see if they can keep it up. They certainly have some momentum with the way they ended last season. I think that's another reason it's important to get off to a good start if you're Tennessee. You've got, first of all, kind of a backloaded schedule a little bit, where they've got Georgia and Alabama in the front half of the schedule. But 3 other games that they absolutely could lose are kind of stuffed into the back 4 games on the schedule. So you've got to get some of those win opportunities that are on the front half of the schedule. So I think very important for Tennessee to come out of the gates playing well, as opposed to last year where they obviously started 0-2 with a couple of non-conference losses against Georgia State and BYU. So definitely important for Tennessee to continue what they've got started at the end of last season and continue to build on that.
Today we get the news that Jeremy Pruitt, contract extension through the 2025 season. So starting next year, we're talking about a $4 million+ man. With that comes expectations. And with that means, like, for example, this matchup on Saturday night, yes, it's a road game in the SEC. On paper, Tennessee is better. Tennessee needs to win games like this.
It does, absolutely. Year 3, fair or not, you start to run into more expectations. And that's the tricky part about this year to me, is that Tennessee had a chance, I think, with the schedule that they originally had this year, had a chance to have an 8-4 season, which would have been, even if they had not pulled an upset against an Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, or Alabama, they still could have had an 8-win regular season, which still would have been a step forward from last year. Now they've had those non-conference games taken away from them. They've had a couple tough SEC games added to their schedule. Now they're left with a schedule that a lot of people will expect them to go 5-5. And that's not necessarily because Tennessee is any different as a team than they would have been if they had gone 8-4 this season with that original schedule, but the schedule is that much tougher. So perception-wise, it is going to be a tougher sell that you are sort of making that kind of progress this year. Just because this, even with the, people will take the schedule into account to a degree, but at the end of the day, 5-5 is still a .500 record. So That's tricky for Tennessee this year, but I do think that is, like you said, with an extension and a raise, especially come expectations. And I think in year three, you start to see more expectations. So it's an interesting time that all of this is coming for Tennessee and for Jeremy Pruitt, but I can't do anything about that. And, obviously this is something that was in the works for months. They wanted to get in this extension. And then, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic sort of put the brakes on all of that. And I think it's probably no accident you're seeing this happen literally 2 days before the season opener. You had to make sure, I think, the season was going to happen, that you were going to get that money before you could even think about that. And then, obviously, the raise doesn't even kick in until next year. But still, definitely an interesting dynamic now for Jeremy Pruitt going into this year and, frankly, next year, where the expectations will probably get even higher.
Yeah, I mean, we look at this 10-game conference schedule. There's four that you can look at. They should be wins for the Vols. South Carolina Saturday, Missouri at home next week. You can also look at Arkansas November 7th and at Vanderbilt November 28th. The other six, and most likely four of those six, Tennessee is going to be underdogs. You know, whether you're talking about Georgia, Bama, A&M, Florida, maybe even Auburn too. You know, when you think about trying to make that transition, if you're Tennessee going from good to great, this schedule is not really the schedule designed for making that transition.
It's not, but I'll say it this way. You know, I've kind of explained it to people this way. You know, when I've heard some Tennessee fans kind of saying, you know, 5-5 maybe isn't acceptable in some fans' mind. I've tried to explain this is not a typical schedule. Obviously, those two extra games really do change a lot. And in Tennessee's case, this schedule is sort of an equalizer for everybody in the SEC. It's going to give you a more accurate read than ever of really where you stand within the SEC. We're finally going to have a true, or something pretty closely resembling a true pecking order within the SEC, where year-to-year schedules aren't as much of a factor. With 10 games, you can only hide so much in the SEC. So everybody's going to play tough teams, even though no one feels the schedules are even. They're a lot closer because of the depth of the schedule. And it's going to give you a much more accurate read of where you stand. And so if Tennessee ends up being a middle-of-the-pack team in the SEC this year, that's probably going to be reflected with about a 5-5 record. So you really do have to take a step forward within the conference to have the kind of good record that you think you are maybe used to having or that you could potentially have in the near future. So I it's going to be tough, obviously. But, yeah, I think that's the challenge is, can you show that you're ready to take a step past an Auburn or past a Texas A&M, which is looking like it's ready to have a pretty good year this year. You know, a program like that, you've got to show that you're ready to beat a team like that on the field. Or you're going to be, if you're right where you've been the last couple of years, I think that's going to show up with probably about a 5-win season. So we'll find out much more than usual where Tennessee truly stands within the SEC.
Yeah, I was throwing this out earlier in the show. Texas A&M, to me, the second best team to start the year on paper in the SEC West. I mean, they return, you know, 17 starters. They have 70-plus letter winners back. They've got an experienced quarterback in Kellen Mond. Isaiah Spiller, he's one of those unsung heroes as far as running back. As a true freshman, he rushed for just under 1,000 yards. A&M is loaded on both sides of the ball. But they're, you know, you think about Bama, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, a lot of other teams getting the love, and I think they're sleepwalking on A&M.
I think so, too, and that's going to be the expectation in College Station, I can tell you that. There's a lot of talk down there that this is sort of the year everything's built toward for Jimbo Fisher, and there's going to be the expectation that they're at least in the mix there with Alabama. You know, I don't think anyone's necessarily looking at this as national championship or bust or anything, but this should be a year that A&M takes a step forward and finally shows it can be a challenger in that tough division. And if you're Tennessee, you know, we thought when this schedule was being put together at one point that it was going to be LSU and Ole Miss or something like that that were added to Tennessee's schedule. In hindsight, that would have sounded pretty good compared to what you got, I think, because you got a really tough Texas A&M team coming to Knoxville for the first time ever. And then you got to go to Auburn, which, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's had some success against Auburn in the past. Tennessee pulled the upset down there 2 years ago. But to go down there again this year, that's at least a toss-up game at best. And so, yeah, I'm with you. Those four They'll be expected to win. Those four that you mentioned, including Texas A&M, they'll probably be expected to lose. To me, the games that kind of define the season, it's probably Kentucky and Auburn. Those are your two opportunities to get some pretty quality wins. Anything else is going to be seen as an upset, but we'll find out. Maybe there'll be some surprises this year, but it's just the schedule that offers some opportunities if you're Tennessee, but that means it's awfully tough.
What's the expectations as far as Saturday, as far as what they're expecting out of Jarrett Garantano? Are they going to try to get anybody else some playing time at quarterback on Saturday, or does it just really depends on how the game dictates it?
You know, I there's been no indication that it's anything but his show, and I think they would have said the same thing, though, going into the bowl game back in January down in Jacksonville, and he ended up getting pulled from that game for a little while. Because he was not performing all that well. So I've kind of said this about Garantano going into this season. It's his team as far as he can take it, but he may be on a relatively short leash because there's no non-conference runway to sort of get started this year. You don't have a chance to really settle in before the really tough games begin. Tennessee sort of had that last year, even though they started 0-2. They had a nice, what looked like a nice lead up with Georgia State, BYU. That's a more typical schedule. This year you go right into it. You've got to beat South Carolina right off the bat, and that's a big game for both teams. So I if you're Tennessee and you see Jarrett Garantano struggling early on, I don't think you can afford to give him a super long leash before you make a change. So I think you're going to see a similar approach to what you saw in the bowl game. It's Jarrett Garantano's team until he shows that he's maybe putting you in a position where you're not going to win the game and you see that things need to be shaken up a little bit. So I think JT Shroud is the backup. I don't think the plan is for him to get into the game, but he's had a good off season. And I think if they needed to use him, they would feel pretty good about it. But Garantano gets the first crack, and they, I think, certainly are hoping it won't come down to anybody but him.
Let's talk about the offensive line. You know, to me, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, it probably starts with Alabama, but then Tennessee, Kentucky, we're still talking about the three best offensive lines in the SEC. What does it mean with regards to Cade Mays being added to the mix?
Well, yeah, we'll find out. There's obviously been no word yet, no sign of whether he's going to be cleared in time to play in this game, and the last 36 hours, it's not sounded all that promising for Tennessee with what Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, has said, sort of pointing to this rule that's been in place for years that has not been changed by member institutions in the SEC. You know, he kind of says, hey, the commissioner is not responsible for making all these rules. The schools are, and they've yet to change this. And the rule for years has been intra-conference transfers are not allowed to play right away. With the exception of grad transfers and players leaving programs that are under NCAA sanctions. So you do have that history to point to, and when he references it like that, he doesn't sound like a guy who's about to change his mind, but he also hasn't completely ruled it out. So Cade Mays and obviously a couple of others in the SEC still waiting to be cleared, and it's definitely not the slam dunk that a lot of people thought it was once they got past the NCAA. There's still some real concern about that. So we'll see what happens. But with or without him, I think it's a good offensive line for Tennessee. I think they've got seven or eight guys they feel pretty good about playing. They should be okay. And either way, that they should be one of the better offensive lines in the SEC, frankly. But it does take this line to another level if they get Cade Mays out there. So they obviously would love to have him cleared in time for this game. And we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Which unit is, from your standpoint, you have circled your biggest concern, especially on defense, going to this matchup against South Carolina?
Well, you could make an argument for a couple different position groups. I would still, just on paper and everything, go with the outside linebackers. You've got to get some pass rush just in the SEC anytime. And after losing Daryl Taylor from last season, there's a lot to replace there. He's been their sacks leader the past 2 years. One of the top pass rushers in the SEC during that time, and you really don't have anyone sort of waiting in the wings ready to give you that similar level of production. They've got some candidates, some guys that I think could be pretty interesting this year. Kevon Bennett, I think, is ready to have a nice, at least a nice season in his first year as a starter, really, the son of Cornelius Bennett, former Alabama standout. So you've got him, you've got DeAndre Johnson, the guy who's played a lot. some other options there that can play some part-time. And then a couple interesting freshmen, Morvan Joseph and Tyler Barron, who could maybe help more throughout the year and take on a bigger role as the season progresses. But really not anyone ready to step up and be an 8 or 10 sack guy on this team. So it's going to have to be sort of by committee, I think, with the pass rush. And so what does that look like in this game? That's a concern. I think that's something Tennessee's got to prove in this game, that it really has a pass rush. So that's the biggest one to me. But a close second might be the defensive line. Not been a great preseason for that group, and that's concerning. They had a sort of a banged-up offensive line, missing some guys throughout the preseason, and still didn't look that great at times. And they had six seniors coming back from a group that sort of overachieved last year. So we'll find out pretty quickly if that group's maybe going to take a step back this year, or if they sort of work through some issues in the preseason and they're going to be fine. So those two obviously together could be sort of a concern. That front seven needs to hold up well to keep South Carolina's running game in check in this game.
Do me a favor, let the listeners know again what they can expect, not just this weekend, but throughout the season as far as GoVols247.com.
Yeah, tons of coverage, obviously, throughout any game week, and that's certainly the case this week. Got our predictions coming up tomorrow, podcast, tons of stuff breaking down this game and full coverage throughout the weekend, obviously, recruiting coverage and much, much more. And right now you can sign up and get 60% off your first year as an annual subscriber. That's just through this weekend, so take advantage of that while it's still up there, govols247.com.
Something tells me you're not pulling, you're not going to be predicting the upset Saturday night.
I'm not, but it's crossed my mind. We'll find out, but I think it might be a closer game than Tennessee fans are thinking based on last year's game. I don't think you'll see a 20-point Tennessee win again.
Hey, buddy, always a pleasure. Be safe the rest of the week. We'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Ryan Callen.